We've been working through a series based on the 40 Days of Purpose material, a book written by Rick Warren a number of years ago, and we're in the fourth of those sermons. In the first week, we asked the question, three of life's great questions, question of our existence, why are we alive? And we discovered that we were created to be loved by God. Second question is the question of significance. Does my life matter? And we discovered that God created us for eternity. Our life doesn't just end at the end of our existence on earth, but goes on for eternity. So our life does matter. And then we asked, the last question was the question of intention. What is our purpose? And we discovered that our primary purpose is getting to know God. And over the last 2 weeks, and again today, we're going to expand on what we mean by what is our purpose. In the first week, we were reminded that our primary purpose is to worship God. We were created for the glory of God. God has made us so that He may receive glory, and we fulfill our purpose when we focus our attention on Him, when we express our affection for Him, and when we use our abilities to serve Him. And then last week, we were reminded that our second primary purpose in life is that we were created for fellowship. We were created to be part of a body. Every one of us are part of the body of Christ. And whether we like it or not, whether we kind of think we can live as lone rangers, the reality is, friends, we were created to be part of that body. And we become part of that body through membership, when we choose to belong. We become part of that body through friendship, when we learn how to serve and share with another. We become part of that body through partnership, when we work together to extend the kingdom of God. And we become part of that body when we learn how to love each other as being members of a family. We don't always agree with our family. We don't always like the things they do, but we stick together, friends, because we're family. And we needed to be reminded of that. And so this morning I want us to focus on the third primary purpose for our creation. Why we were created, friends, we were created to become like Jesus. There are two verses, apart from the one I read for the children out of 1 John. There are two of them I want to read for us. First is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to Him, and He knew who would, should become like His Son. Friends, the Scriptures are encouraging us and telling us we need to become like Jesus. And another verse in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 says, God wants us to grow up, becoming like Christ in everything. The sad reality is, friends, that many just remain babes in Christ. That's what the passage in Ephesians is all about, that we're encouraged to grow up to maturity. And to be mature, friends, is to be like Christ, to grow up, to be like Him. So our third purpose is to become more like Jesus. We're to become what Jesus called His disciples. We're reminded that everything we do, friends, are to make us more like Him. And we're reminded in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, where it says, God, in all things, God works for the good of those who He has called, who He's put His love on, and who is called according to His purpose. Friend, God wants us to be like Jesus. We're to do everything we possibly can to be like Jesus. That's surely our goal in life, is to be a disciple of Christ. As we're working through life, as we're going through life, friends, everything in our lives that takes away from who Christ is. We need to be getting rid of, and we need to be putting on all those things that Christ has for us, or Christ wants us to become. Now, how do we become like Christ? Well, the passage tells us God works in all things. So what are the ways in which God works to make us more like Jesus? Well, I know the first one you're not going to particularly like, because it's one of those that is not always easy to think about. The first tool God, friends, uses to make us more like Jesus is this. God uses trouble to teach us to trust Him. God uses the troubles of life. Often when I'm, you know, at the bedside of somebody in hospital, how many times I've heard people say to me, God put me on my back to force me to look up. And that's the reality. You know, sometimes when we're going around life, friends, without any concern about God at all, sometimes God needs to put us on our back to force us to look up, to become more like Jesus. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 and 4 explains that principle to us. It says this: trouble produces patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. How does our character become more like Christ, friends? Well, it starts with the troubles in life. When we get to the point where we realize we can't do these things on our own, friends. We can only do them, friends, when we can only get through life, friends, if we're fully trusting on Jesus. You know, oftentimes when we're going through difficult times, we ask ourselves the question, why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? You know, so much preaching means done around Christian circles these days, that when you become a Christian, everything is meant to go good for you. You're going to be given lots of money, and you're going to live a life full of health and wealth. There's no trouble going to come your way. But friends, the reality is that even Jesus faced trouble in this life. Jesus didn't go through life trouble-free. The reality is, friends, Jesus experienced that. Of course, the ultimate expression of that is found at the cross. As Jesus was moving towards the cross, as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says this: they came to a garden called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Distress and anguish came over Jesus, and he said, "The sorrow in my heart is so great that it almost crushes me." On another occasion, Jesus hung on as he prayed, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me, yet not my will, but thine be done." Now, friends, if we're wanting to become like Christ, we should follow his example. We should expect the reality of difficulties coming in our lives. You know, if we had our choice, everything would be great. But how many people who have gone through difficulty, the Apostle Paul, who suffered, we're not 100% sure what the thing is he suffered. Most scholars believe that he had a problem with his eyes, that he couldn't really see very well. And he said, "Lord, I prayed for you to take this trouble away from me, this persecution, this problem from Satan away from me on 3 occasions, Lord, but you haven't taken it away. Lord, some friends, sometimes we need trouble in our lives to put us on our knees, to draw us closer to God. I think I've shared with you once before, I'll just maybe repeat it again. When Patricia and I were at theological college, unlike many of the other students, we had a very easy life when we were at college. I had a job as a computer programmer. And even although I just worked 3 or 4 hours in the afternoons, and sometimes I would work on a Saturday, but when we had holidays, I would work full time. During that time, friends, I earned a very good salary. So while I was a full-time student, it was almost as if I was earning a full-time salary. Patricia was a staff manageress at a big Woolworths store, and she earned a good salary. And one of the benefits of working at Woolworths, if you ever know somebody who is working with Woolworths, you know, when it gets to their sell-by dates, they take it off the shelves and then they sell it to the staff. So we only ate Woolworths food while we were at college. I was in Woolworths on Friday just to buy a few things. Man, and the things I wanted to buy, I just had to put back on the shelf because I couldn't afford half of them. But while we were at college, we had a new car every year or every second year at least. Things were good for us. Then we went into our first church. And I've mentioned this before. In the first church, friends, I earned as much in my first year that I did as my last month as a computer programmer. We went to a 12th of the salary. And on top of that, Patricia didn't have a job either. We learned to trust God. You see, up until that point in time, things were good for Patricia and I. We could buy what we want. We could do what we want. We could go where we want. But suddenly for 3.5 years, we was wanting to serve God, but we didn't have the money to do it, friends. But the Lord taught us in those 3.5 years how to trust Him. How should we grow through trouble? Well, there are a number of ways. One of them is you can keep a spiritual journey, a journal, I should say. Record the things that God, where God has been good to you. In Numbers, as the children of Israel were going through the desert, it tells us in Numbers, the Lord told Moses, keep a written record of your progress. Sometimes it's good to write things down. Now, I'm not a great journal keeper personally, but between Patricia and I, we've got good memories. We're able to remember the difficult times God has taken us through so that when more difficult times come, we're not overwhelmed by them. Because what we can say is, the Lord was with us then, He will be with us again. Friends, keeping a journal is very helpful to many people. But most importantly, looking to the reward. When you're going through difficult times, friends, keep your eyes focused on the future. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal reward that far outweighs them all. Friends, the problems of this life are not even a blink of your eye, friends, in terms of eternity. Let's keep our focus on what God has for us in the future. Regardless of what may come, friends, God has a better future for us. So how do we become like Jesus? Friends, God uses trouble. And when trouble comes, instead of us complaining, let's ask the question, Lord, what is it you're trying to teach me so that I may become more like you? Secondly, God uses temptation. He uses trouble to teach us to trust Him, but He uses temptation to teach us to obey Him. Everybody is tempted, friends. Nobody is not tempted. Once again, friends, even Jesus was tempted. We must never lose sight of that. In fact, the Bible tells us that He was tempted in every single way that we humans are tempted. But praise the Lord, that verse ends off and says, yet without sin. So friends, temptation is not the sin. Jesus faced them. He never allowed sin to overcome Him. He faced them in the desert. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. The scripture said, worship the Lord your God. Obey Him only. So how do we deal with temptation? Few things. First of all, to be tempted is not sin, friends. The reality is we're all tempted. You can't prevent, Martin Luther once said, you can't keep the birds from the flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Did you hear that? You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. The sad reality is, friends, so many of us just succumb to temptation in a small way, and sooner or later we find ourselves embroiled in sin. Jesus, as I told you, has been tempted in the same way that we have been tempted. So how must we deal with temptation? Well, that well-known verse, friends, in Philippians chapter 4, fix your thoughts on what is good and pure. That's the reminder to us, friends. Don't think about things that distract us, but keep our focus on who Jesus is and what He is like. And secondly, have somebody you can share your difficulties with. All I can say is, the greatest gift God ever gave me was Patricia. Because the reality is, we keep each other kind of accountable. We make sure that we're living in a way, friends, that we can support each other and hold each other accountable. If we're doing things we shouldn't be doing, we're not afraid to say that to each other. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10 says, you're better off to have a friend than to be alone. If you fall, a friend can help you up. Don't try and face the Christian life on your own. You need a partner. You need somebody who you can be accountable to. You need a group that you can be accountable to, although sometimes it's easier just to have one person who you can truly open your heart to, that can know you in every single way and yet not judge you and accept you for who you are. So if God uses trouble to teach us to trust Him, and He uses temptation to teach us to obey Him, thirdly, He uses even our trespasses or the trespasses of others to teach us how to forgive. As people were walking past Jesus, friends, it says this, people passed by, shook their heads, and hurled insults at Jesus. The elders made fun of them. Even the bandits who had been crucified with him insulted him in the same way. Yet, how did Jesus respond? Jesus didn't respond negatively, friends. Jesus responded by offering forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Friend, you need to learn how to forgive others who have hurt you. We need to learn how to move on beyond the pain others have caused us. But let me also say, you also need to learn how to forgive yourself. Sometimes you may have done something that you know has been displeasing to the Lord. Maybe you, whatever it is, friends, you know you have committed a sin which you know really hurts the Lord. But friend, you need to remember, Jesus has died for that sin. Even the sin in your own life, even the sin that you attempted to return to, friends, you need to learn how to forgive yourself. Don't let the enemy remind you of your past. I'm sure you've seen that one little quote that goes around, and it says, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Friends, that's what we need to do. We need to recognize that we all have a past. None of us are without sin. God has forgiven us. We need to forgive those that hurt us. Friends, that's how we grow. We grow when people stretch us. When we forgive others, don't forget God forgave you first. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says, forgive others just as God forgave you because of Christ. And friends, when others are hurting you, or even when you're frustrating yourself, friend, ask God to retake control. God is in control. When others are hurting you, remember the story of Joseph when he was sold by his brothers to go into slavery. And then when he was the prime minister of Egypt and his brothers came to him begging for food. And when his brothers discovered who he was, they were filled with absolute fear that Joseph was going to respond and hurt them or do to them what they had done to him. Yet Joseph says these words, you meant to hurt me, but God turned the evil into good to save the lives of many, which he is being done. The reality is, friends, people will hurt us. Sadly, even people in the church will hurt you. I come across many people when I ask them, why don't you go to church anymore? Many of them will say, well, I was hurt in that church. Or somebody in that church disappointed me. Or somebody I know who claims to be this wonderful Christian, I know what they do behind closed doors. Friend, don't let others sin, or don't even let your own sin draw you down. Allow the forgiveness of God to fill your heart for your own sin, and then forgive others like Christ forgave them. So how do we become like Jesus? Friend, trouble teaches us to trust him. Temptation teaches us to obey him. And the trespasses, our trespasses and other people's trespasses teaches us to forgive. To forgive ourselves and to forgive others. When we go through what Christ went through, friends, let's remember, friends, that God is taking us through that for his purposes and for his glory. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says that our attitude should be the same as Christ. How do we become more like Jesus? Well, friends, hear the Spirit speaking to your life. Allow the Spirit to remind you of those things that you need to change in your own life. Don't reject them. Learn the lessons. But most importantly, become more like Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we want to grow in character. We want to become who you want us to be. Thank you for the model that we have in Jesus. We want to become more like Jesus in the way that we think, the way that we feel, and the way that we act. Lord, if it means you taking us through trouble, let us say we want your will for our lives. If it means that we're going through a wilderness of temptation, Lord, give us the strength to make the right choices like Jesus made. And if it means that we must endure the hurt of other people, then, Lord, teach us to forgive. And help us, Lord, to forgive ourselves when we sin. For we know, Lord, that your forgiveness is eternal and good and true. Help us to become more like you. We pray that for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.